Hi, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local, and brought to you by Bank ESB.
Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. We have a great show for you today. Before we get to it, though, let's have a message from this month's sponsor, Bank ESB.
Bank ESB is here for local business. As a local bank, we provide everything you need to thrive around here, including personalized guidance and business products, like free checking and cash management services. Unlock your potential and learn more at bankesb.com/business. Member FDIC DIF.
Okay, we are back on Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I am George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. We're talking today with Peter Picknelly. He is the chairman and CEO of Peter Pan Bus Lines, among other things. Peter, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, George. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Peter, we've been doing this podcast for about 18 months now. We love to have different business owners on, people who can bring a different perspective to things, talk about different kinds of businesses. And we're happy to have you on because you can talk about a lot of different things, timely issues, and a lot of different types of businesses as well. You've got the bus lines, but you've also got your restaurant, and you've got a new development on Court Square in Springfield. And we're going to get to all that. But let's just start with buses. This is the company that your family has been in for, oh, I'm going to get this wrong, probably 70 years now, 80?
It'll be 90 years.
90?
Yeah, 90 years, right here in Springfield, Mass.
So this has not been an easy time for businesses across a lot of different sectors of the economy. I can't imagine it's been any picnic for you guys in transportation. Can you talk about what it's been like?
Listen, it's certainly been the most difficult time in my tenure at Peter Pan, and I'm sure it's been the most difficult time since our company started. I mean, we're almost 90 years old. At one point in 2020, we were forced to close for 10 weeks. We've never closed, we closed down for 10 weeks to as the government asked us to flatten the curve. And so on. And, we wanted to make sure that, our employees were safe and our customers were safe. But people depend on what we do, George. So we, after 10 weeks closed, we began service and, we're slowly building back to normal and we're getting there, but it's been slow.
People talk a lot about the airlines and people getting on airplanes and whether they're feeling safe on airplanes and whether airlines are going to regulate this and that. There's not much talk about buses, but more people probably ride the bus every day than ride an airplane. I'm pretty much safe in saying that. So are people coming back to buses? Like you said, people depend on what you do. So for a lot of them, it's not even a choice.
Well, yeah. Listen, our industry carries an awful lot of people. Our industry carries more passengers in 2 weeks than Amtrak carries in an entire year. We carry about the same amount of passengers in our industry as does the airlines. But listen, we are steadily building back. Now that colleges are back, some workers are back. More and more people are traveling. We do have much stronger protocols now than we've had in the past. The buses are, sanitized every single night. Passengers are required to wear masks. That's a federal mandate until January. But we get very, very few comments that, passengers don't feel safe aboard our bus line. So that's good. And more passengers are coming back and we're pleased about that.
Well, people are getting back on buses. They need places to go to. And for a long time, the major cities that you take people to were kind of in shutdown mode themselves. Now those cities are starting to reopen again. New York is more or less open for business again. Boston, still pretty slow, but it's back open for business too. Are you seeing people going back to those cities? Where are people traveling to?
Yeah, Peter Pan, George, we serve about 100 cities in the Northeast and all major cities. New York City is by far our nucleus. You know, about 50% of what we do, we carry people in and out of New York City. Our number one route is Boston, New York. And our number two route is Washington to New York, and number three, Philadelphia. But in addition to serving the major cities in the Northeast Georgia, about 60% of the cities we serve, we're the only game in town. We are their only avenue to, you know, the outside world besides local public transportation. So we have a real obligation, you know, to make sure that we're serving these communities, because again, we're the only game in town. There's no train, there's no other bus line. It's Peter Pan. And, you know, we feel a strong commitment to those communities.
Are the buses full when they're leaving the depots, or?
Well, listen, Friday and Sunday are our busy travel days. What people need to understand, when you're not busy, George, that's when we are. Right. So we shine on, on holidays, weekends, and we're slower midweek. So, you know, midweek, our buses are generally about, 50% occupied. On weekends, they're pretty full. That's our job, to fill them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were just in Washington for a bus conference. What were the topics of conversation?
Well, it was a board meeting. It was the first board meeting we've had in person in, a year and a half. So, Washington was brisk. You know, they have a mask mandate down there, but the restaurants are open. And, the big issue in our industry, like most others, is you can't get people, right? It is so difficult to find drivers. It's so difficult to find information agents and ticket agents. It's just difficult. And, we've been struggling with that. You know, the restaurants have the exact same problem. So that's a challenge, but that's a challenge that's not unique to Peter Pan or restaurants.
When did this start? I know earlier this year, things really started to become difficult for people hiring almost anyone, but obviously you probably had to downsize a little bit early last year, but now you're back in a hiring mode. When did these difficulties start?
Well, I guess they've been consistent right along. So, once we resumed service, we slowly started, calling back people that we were forced to furlough. We kept everybody on health insurance as long as we possibly could, and then we started bringing them back. Everything's done in seniority order at Peter Pan, so people could pass it down to someone junior, but now we've asked everyone to come back. Listen, we still have 50 buses parked because, we don't have enough drivers,
Wow.
At 500,000, 600,000 a pop, that's a pretty big pill to swallow. But, we're slowly getting there. We're hiring in all of the major cities and, we're putting drivers back in the saddle.
Okay, you're listening to Business Talk, the podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, editor of Business West Magazine. We're talking to Peter Picknelli, chairman and CEO of Peter Pan Bus Lines. And Peter, you mentioned restaurants earlier. This was a business sector that you moved into several years ago with the Fort Restaurant. Matter of fact, you were honored by Business West with its Difference Makers Award. I think it was 2015, actually. Did I get that year right? I think I did. So you can speak to what's going on there, too. I know this has been a tough year for you. I want to take a couple minutes and let you talk about Andy Yee. That was a tough loss, not just for you, but for everyone in this region. I know you're trying to carry on without him. It must be very difficult.
Yeah, Andy was, besides a great business partner, he was a terrific friend. And, I miss Andy. Yeah, it's a big loss for our community. He was such a good guy, such a welcoming guy. I'm partners with his entire family. So Andy was the front man for the family, but, Andy's got two brothers, Edison and Nick, and a sister, Anita. They're very involved in the restaurant. So, we're continuing to move forward in the Andy Yee tradition. Together we have seven restaurants now and an eighth one that's being planned. So, we're still being very aggressive and, you know, it's a business that, you know, I kind of like. I'm having fun with it. They do the hard work. You know, I'm involved with the planning and the preparation, but the day-to-day operation is the Yee family, and they are very good restaurateurs. But again, it's difficult. I mean, it's very hard to get wait staff and kitchen help. So some restaurants are closing, you know, Monday and Tuesday, which are generally the slower days of the week, just to give their staff a break. This month, October, we're closing a couple of Mondays, you know, just to kind of give our employees a break and employee appreciation days, because they've worked so hard over the, you know, over the summer and, you know, through the Big E. But, you know, we're managing to get by. And, you know, I'm excited to tell you that the Fort has a brand new chef that starts this week. We're really excited about that. The guy is very, very talented. And I hope everybody comes out and okay. You know, sees the new items that we're going to have on our menu now.
So it is October. You have Oktoberfest planned. That's always a big event, but you know, with Andy passing this year, I'm sure you've got even more things in line for that.
Yeah, listen, we're kind of celebrating, you know, Andy's life at our Oktoberfest. So his presence is going to be there. Andy loved Oktoberfest. It was great to see all the crowds on 4th Street. You know, we're starting tonight. We've already sold about 400 tickets, and then there's a lot of walk-in. So we'll be packed on, you know, we're closing down the entire street, including the parking lot at the end. And we've got some great local bands. And, you know, we've got the White Hot food trailer there. And we're excited. And I think there's a pent-up demand to get out and have some fun. So that's what we're going to do on 4th Street, you know, every weekend in October.
And while you rescued the Fort, you also rescued the White Hut over in West Springfield, another entrepreneurial gambit on your part. How is that one working out?
Listen, it's been great. George, you know, our community is blessed with some terrific restaurants. We really are, and we're very fortunate. But there are few that are iconic. And, you know, we certainly didn't want to lose the Student Prince. You know, it's such a great restaurant and strong traditions. And the White Hut is just as iconic, and it's doing well. You know, passengers, there I go with the bus stuff. Customers have really embraced the White Hut, and sales are strong. We just completed the Big E, and sales were up 33% from 2019, which was the last time they were there. So it's been good. And we think the White Hut is scalable. We've got, you know, two more locations we're looking at north of here. So we'll, we're having fun, and we think it's a brand we can expand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to get to Court Square and your latest restaurant project there in a minute, but I didn't want to talk to you about something. You've been in business for a long time now. Been with Peter Pan probably pretty much your whole life, and, you're one of the more respected business managers in this region. I wanted to talk to you about this pandemic a little bit. It has tested the mettle of everyone in this region, and I'm sure it's tested yours as well. What has this pandemic basically taught us about business and being resilient, finding new and different ways to doing everything, and basically reaching down deeper and tapping our potential?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. That's what you had to do it. I mean, it tested all business, George, not just Peter Pan, not just the restaurants. No, everybody had to adapt. But listen, you have to have a positive attitude, and you got to know we're coming out of it. And we are. You know, things are getting better and better. You know, Columbus Day is a big travel day in the Northeast, and our Columbus Day is very strong. It was stronger. It's stronger than was Labor Day or Independence Day. So it's getting better and better. And you're right. You need to be resilient. You need to adapt. And so Peter Pan has done that. And the restaurants have done that. You know, we're smarter. You know, more and more people are buying tickets online, as example, George, right? Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic, maybe 60% of our sales were in advance online, and we still had 40% that walked up and bought, you know, right before departure. That's completely changed. you know, 90% of our sales now are online in advance and reservation based. So we adapt to that, and we've been able to economize in some of our costs of selling. So you need to make those adjustments, and we have. Information center is another area where we've been able to do things more online than in person. So we've economized, saved some costs, and hopefully provided a better service.
What's it been like for you personally to manage? You've managed through recessions, you've managed through gas crises. Those are good for the bus business, actually.
Right.
You've managed through all manner of things, but like me, you've never managed your way through a pandemic. What's it been like?
Well, I guess it's been challenging, but listen, I've been optimistic, and we work with some great people, very smart people here at Peter Pan. We've got some terrific bus drivers, and so we're very fortunate. Our businesses are run much like a family, and so while it's been challenging, I've always been confident that we provide a pretty good service. People depend on what we do, and things are going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In a few minutes that we have left, let's talk about CourtSquare. This is a project that people have been pointing to for years as one of the missing pieces downtown, one of the keys to revitalizing that central business district and bring more people there. I guess the plan is to do this in a lot of different ways. There's a strong residential component to this project. There's retail, and then there's the restaurant that you have blueprinted for that spot. Talk about the project and talk about your piece of it.
Okay. Well, listen, it's, I think it's the key building in Springfield. It's a beautiful building right in Court Square. It's been abandoned for 35 years now. And our city simply can't rebound with having such a massive building in its core abandoned. So our plan, and it's underway now, is we're going to build 72, high-end apartments that'll be, market rate and a little bit above. We'll also be putting in, a 5,000 square foot restaurant. I think there's 180 seats in the restaurant, and it'll face Court Square. I think it'll be the premium location in Springfield for a restaurant. So we're excited about it. I've partnered with Wynn Construction from Boston, who are experts at, historic renovations. So they're great. Right now, the city, is remediating the building, and we take over next month, and it'll be an 18-month construction period. So, we're looking at the spring of 2023 to be open, and the restaurant and all the apartments, and we hope to pre-sell the apartments beforehand.
Okay. So when all is said and done, that should be, like I said, an important addition to downtown Springfield, and the world should look a whole lot different in the spring of 2023 than it does now. We're looking forward to having that vibrancy back, and I'm anticipating that project will go a long way toward creating that vibrancy we're looking for downtown and bringing people back. So good luck with that project.
Yeah, it's an exciting project. I'm really looking forward to it, and it's going to be some great downtown housing and, a terrific restaurant. We've done some market research, and, it'll be a chop house that'll feature a lot of seafood as well. So that's what we think the city needs.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. And thank you for coming on, Peter. We really appreciate it. We're out of time now, but I want to thank you. We'll check back in a few months, and we'll see how you're doing with all these things.
Thanks, George. Take care.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you for listening. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.